Philippians 4, and we'll read there in just a moment, but I would like to start with a couple of thoughts, and a pretty simple one. Do you want peace? Do you want peace? Genuine question I would hope you answer and consider in your own heart, in your own mind. Maybe it's this: do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace in your heart? I think most of us would say, absolutely, I want peace. I want peace. On the flip side of that, I think we would struggle to say, I want peace, but sometimes it's hard to get. I sure would like peace in my home. I would like peace at the place I work. I like peace in the neighborhood. I like when the dogs, you know, the neighborhood's dogs don't do stuff in my yard and I have to grouch at someone. We want peace in these places, don't we? We want peace all throughout our life. We want peace in the church. Okay, I hope you want peace in the church. Get a different message out if that's not the case. We want peace in relationships. We want them in our occupations. We want peace. We want peace in our heart. I think you, if you'd thought about it, you'd want peace in your heart. Life is good when there's tranquility in our heart. There's a cherry on top when our minds are at peace, when we can lay our head on the pillow at night and be at peace. If we want peace. But I would suggest sometimes there's a disconnect between wanting and having. Anxiety is a major issue in our nation. And as far as I understand, it's the highest in any nation, and yet we're so well off, and yet we're so full of anxiety. And I would get it in the lost world. I get it in the lost world. But it's a shame when I look at my own heart, my own mind, it's missing. Because, I mean, if there's something the Christian has that the world doesn't, it's the fruits of the Spirit. Or it should be. And so I just simply suggest it's a tragedy when the Christian doesn't have peace. But that's one of the things that God does give us that the world can't have. Peace. And so tonight I'd like to consider the aspect of peace in a chapter that I believe is highly geared towards stability in verse 1, where it talks about standing fast. And God gives the answer for peace. It's a familiar verse and verses. I encourage you, don't let the familiarity of these verses hinder you from hearing from God. And we're going to see this. We're going to see this. The connection of peace and the link that it has with our mind. Peace in our thinking. Peace in our mind. So if you're able to stand, I'll have you stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Philippians 4, verse 1, and then we'll hop down. But it says this: therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 6, it says this: be careful for nothing. The thought would be, don't be full of care. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, it says this: if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And tonight we're going to look at the thought of peace through a mastered mind. Of course, that's the Lord mastering our mind, but peace through a mastered mind. But will you join me in prayer? Father, I do thank you so much for the privilege it is to preach your word. I thank you for Ellicott Baptist Church. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this church. Lord, I pray that you would be with those, Lord, even tonight, that have mentioned hurt, families going through struggles, surgeries. Lord, I just pray that you would give wisdom in those circumstances, give grace, and Lord, I would pray for peace. And Father, tonight I pray for a blessing over there in the next building with the kids, and I pray, Lord, you'd speak to their hearts, keep them safe, and Lord, I pray that you would just raise up a generation of kids that would love and serve you. And then, Lord, I pray that in here, Lord, you would have permission to speak to our hearts. And then, Lord, I pray as you do speak, Lord, we would respond, we would apply. Now, Lord, we ask that you would move in our midst, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Does anyone know what the terms worm, all caps, I love you, SQL slammer, Stutnik, crypto locker, Tibna, WannaCry, Zeus, relate to? Computer viruses. And if you've ever had one of those, you know the pain of having a computer virus. We had one at when I was on staff at in Oklahoma. We had one that wiped out all the giving statements. And we had to go back by hand and re-enter those into a new computer. So if you've ever had a virus issue, you know what that's like. But the thought tonight is this: our minds can have viruses too. Your mind can have a virus too. Our minds can have viruses of anxiety, bitterness, anger, guilt, shame, greed, insecurity, and the list of viruses does go on. They do worm their way into our way of thinking and our system of thinking and even diminish our mind. Change how we think, change how we handle circumstances. One man put it like this: do you have destructive thought patterns? Do you have destructive thought patterns? He called it DTPs. Do you have DTPs? Destructive thought patterns. A way to check is, when you see success, are you jealous? When you see success, are you jealous? When you see someone struggle, are you filled with pride? Do you rehearse hurt in your mind and heart? Do you rehash past issues? Do you assume the worst about the future? Here's a good one. Do you argue with other people inside your mind? Yeah, see, none of you do. There's a chance you have destructive thought patterns. They do waste our time. They do rob us of our peace. Bad thoughts rob us of stability, and peace gets robbed. So our thoughts do matter. As way of introduction, let me just simply say our thoughts matter. We're to be people that think. I did a Google search. I'm preaching through the book of Philippians. In fact, I'm giving you four messages in one tonight. So 9 o'clock. No, we'll get through quicker than that. I did a research on just a Google search, and those are a great place to get sermon illustrations. But why we think. It was a rabbit hole of information on why a lost world thinks that people think. I mean, it just goes. So I would say this: we think because we were created in the image of God, and He thinks. And so God's given us the ability to think, to reason through, to live well, to think through free will that He gave us. God has given us a mind. But what we think does impact our choices. You think about a bad experience that you've had at a restaurant. You do not go back to a restaurant. In fact, when someone brings up this said restaurant, you say, I don't go to that restaurant. Here's the issue, right? And so we'd have that maybe with car places. We'd have that with places we shop. There, experiences. We think, the way we think impacts our choices. The way we think, the Bible says, impacts our life. What I am simply saying is our thoughts matter. And we'll get to peace in just a moment, but our thoughts matter. Solomon said, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." How what we think impacts how we live. I want you to catch one more illustration before we get into the points tonight, but a study said this: every day our minds are flooded with constant stream of thoughts, ranging from mundane daily tasks to deep contemplations about life and the world around us. I'm going to come back to this in just a moment, but we're thinking about this. You're thinking about your thoughts. And I hope if you do one thing, I think there's greater things to do, but one small assignment, homework would be, take time this week to think about what you think about. I know it's a weird thing, but think about what you think about. Because you can control what you think about, but we live in a society where it tells us what to think about. But catch what's being said. Our minds do shift from just mundane things to deep things to hopefully spiritual things as Christians. But according to research, the average person has approximately 60,000 thoughts per day. 60,000 thoughts per day. That's interesting, but catch what's really interesting. But what is truly concerning is that 75% of these thoughts are negative. 60,000 thoughts, 75% of them are negative, but it gets greater. And 95% are on repeat. 60,000 thoughts, 75% of those 60,000 thoughts are negative, and then it's just on this repeat cycle. What's it saying? We mull over a bunch of negative things, on and on it goes. And this came from a source that then talked about health benefits of having those thoughts. But I'd simply say this, it's no wonder Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, linked our peace and our thoughts. Our peace and our hearts. In fact, it's interesting. Here's another useless fact. I'm listening to a book on sleep, why we sleep. And it was saying it has science is now able to detect when someone's understudies their dreams, like parts of their dreams. If they dreamed about a vehicle, it's not there yet, but they can determine what someone dreamed about. It's science is getting weirder and weirder. But not specifics, but they can have very vague. But what they said, when we have dreams, specifically nightmares, in their research, they said that it can be seen what impacts our dreams is not necessarily the day's experiences, but our concerns and our emotions. And so if you've had a recent dream, yeah, you can sometimes tie in those emotions that you've had. And I'm simply saying this, our thoughts matter. Paul uses the term mind, he uses the term think, he uses the term learned in verses 7, 8, and 9. So I'd say this, if we truly want peace, God does have a solution. Our thoughts matter because they impact not just our life, but our relationship with God. And so we'll see this tonight. If I am to enjoy the peace of God, my thoughts must be mastered. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And it talks about the peace. But this is the first thought tonight. Take your thoughts to God. Take your thoughts to God. The verse, be careful for nothing. If that was any other source that someone said just this, don't be anxious. There is nothing in life to be anxious about. If that was just someone off the streets, if that was just a friend, you'd be like, dude, you have no idea what I'm going through. Don't tell me that. But we have the Word of God saying, be careful for nothing. The Holy Spirit telling us, be careful for nothing. Choose not to let anything cause you anxiety. At this point, I'm going to tell you, I'm still working through this. I have not arrived. In fact, the Lord gave this message and these thoughts at a very good time in my life because I was far, far from it. But Paul says to the church at Philippi, be careful for nothing. Choose not to let anything cause you anxiety, but this, bring your thoughts, bring your requests to God. How much more often we're willing to pick up the phone and just spill our guts to someone? How much more are we willing to run those 60,000 thoughts through a repeat cycle before we stop and say, oh yeah, God may want to talk to me about this, or I should talk to him about this. We talk to God. Get alone and find a quiet place and just spend time on your face before him, venting your frustration to and through him. Just be with him. Let your mind be soothed by the Almighty's presence. So I think this thought is familiar, and we're comfortable enough with this thought. We've heard this thought enough where we're at the point where we say, yeah, sounds good, Pastor, but yeah, no, that I prayed about it and it didn't work out. I would say this, sometimes it's important to linger in the presence of God. You tried it for 3 minutes, it didn't work, yeah, I understand that. Could it be that you have to linger in prayer? Could it be that you might just have to not read that chapter of the book, not watch that episode, miss a meal? To linger in the presence of God. If you want peace, pray. It's as simple as that. If you want peace, pray. Ask for help. Put those words into a petition, both big and small. Like what one man said, there's nothing too great for God's power. And I think we agree with that. There's nothing too great with God, for God's power, and nothing too small for his heavenly Father's care. Nothing too small that your heavenly Father doesn't care about. Nothing too big his power can't handle. Nothing too small that your heavenly Father doesn't want to hear from you. We have become so impatient, I think, as a society that we struggle to pray well. Makes sense. I mean, we really do. We're a fast-paced society. We want it. We want it now. If it doesn't happen, we'll move on. We'll find something else. Could it be that prayer doesn't work that way? Especially the peace that we could get from God if we were to linger in prayer. Instead of worry, we're to pray. In fact, it's to pray with appreciation, to pray with thanksgiving. What takes place in our heart when we pray with thanksgiving? There's a certain level of submission. Look, because I've been there, you've been there before, where you know maybe you should spend time thanking God for something. In fact, I think it's good to make it a routine of your daily life to thank God for something. And here's a good heart check. When you can't thank God for anything, something's off. No, I get it. There are some bad days where you're like, I can't think of a thing. And then when I stop and linger in God's presence, I think, there's a lot I can be thankful for. Well, what takes place inside of our heart and our life when we stop and bow before the Lord and say it, a prayer with thanksgiving? It does submit our heart to saying, God's still God, even if I don't like where I'm at. It does something in our heart. It renders a piece of our heart over to Him. If you want peace, pray. If you want peace, pray. If you want peace, pray. Take your thoughts to God. See this as well, the second thought. Take your thoughts under control. Verse number 8, take your thoughts under control. All throughout Scripture, we do see that God commands us to guard our mind, guard our heart. In fact, Solomon says this in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We are to guard the innermost part of who we are, our thoughts, our reasoning. We're to keep all those destructive thought patterns away, those DTPs. Guard our mind. Well, I just won't have bad thoughts. That's good, but it's not enough. It's good, but it's not enough. In fact, one man said this, a guarded thought life has to be accompanied by a guided thought life. A guarded thought life. That is good. That's great. We're going to look at some verses on that. But it has to be accompanied by a guided thought life. So I'd say this, God desires to direct our thoughts as well. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. It's with this thought in mind, don't just let your mind free roam. I mean, we've been there before. We're like, wow, I've been thinking about that for a while. Wow, that put me in a bad mood. Sometimes it takes a while to realize it put us in a bad mood, but the free roaming mind's not a healthy mind. Casting down imaginations, the thought of reasonings, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God desires for us to direct our thoughts. God desires for our thoughts to be directed on what things? Well, He gives us a list of 7, 8, and then basically just says anything. We'll go through it quickly. We won't dig in deeply. But what things should we direct our thoughts? Where should we take our thoughts to control? What should we think on? Well, here's a list, but it's not extensive. Paul even says that. Truth. All that is compliant to or constant with eternal truth. Our thoughts matter. We need to take our thoughts to God. Our thoughts need to be controlled. What ways can we control them? When we're having a destructive thought, we stop and ask this simple question, is this true? That eliminates a whole lot of them, does it not? There's a whole lot that we worry about that has nothing to do with truth. Do your thoughts linger on lies? Maybe something like this, I am completely worthless. God says you're loved. We can rule that out as a lie. I'm always going to fail. This will never work. God says in this chapter, in fact, I can do all things through Christ. Specifically, it's living without, living with contentment. God says an answer to those. Nobody cares. God says I care. In fact, He says I want you to give the problems to me. 1 Peter 5:7. That's truth. That's one thing we can direct our thoughts toward. Honest. deserves honor or respect. This can be a great worker. This can be a good citizen. This can be a husband, a wife, thinking on things worthy of adoration or awe. I suppose God gets the top seat of that, does he not? There are many things that are trivial that should not capture our mind. You ever been there where just trivial thought just engulfs your thinking? I'm saying there's a certain amount of your mind just going, but there's a certain amount of triviality in which we realize I've lost peace because I've dwelled upon something that's trivial. How about just, righteous, or right with God? That is the word of God. If we want our minds to be at peace, if we want God to work in our hearts and our minds have to be on the things of God. Pure, morally pure. I'm telling you, one of the most destructive things in our society is a society filled with sexual immorality. Be pure in our minds. Be pure in our minds. It's amazing even the statistics on how destructive pornography even is for the mind. Lovely. It's the pleasant or gracious. Really, in a society filled with ugly, Christians, we shouldn't be ugly. We should be people that are lovely. And really, with this thought, I would include this, because the common grace of God, the lost even have attributes worth thinking on. They have a certain amount of endurance they might go through, which are worthy to think on. They might even have a certain amount of kindness or thoughtfulness. In fact, God isn't narrow on, hey, these are four things you can think about. After that, you can't think about anything else. Good report, well thought of, well regarded. 7, 8, anything, virtue, anything of praise, it's as this. He says the list doesn't end there. There's lots of things to think about. And he says this, we should master our thinking by having our mind upon that. And I guess one of the things we could do is just in your own mind, in your own heart, consider the last thing you really stressed over and picture how many times that thought was there in your mind and you just ran it over. Pictured it from this direction and this direction, solved it from this direction and this direction, wonder if we take from this to that, and we've meditated on that problem. We've meditated upon that anxiety. We've meditated upon that stressor. We have taken our good energy that God wants us to think about things that are lovely and pure, and we've encapsulated our mind on something that is not. Tell your mind what to think. And really, I think this is a huge factor for our society. You just think 50 years back, 60 years back, it was just different. It was just different. Now we have this. We have social media that'll tell us what to think. Right? You're scrolling through your phone, and this is what your mind's going to think about. And this is what your mind's going to think about. And this is what your mind's going to think about. Or you're watching TV, you're scrolling YouTube, and this is what your mind thinks about, and this is what your mind thinks about. It really is a different society in which we live, in which really we're now being told what to think. We're being told what to think. It is feeding our thoughts, and they're going from here to here to here to here to, and everywhere. I'm just telling you, take some time to think about what you think about and direct your thoughts. It could be as very simple as this. One of those words that I skimmed over very quickly, I'm going to study that out. I'm going to let that be my thinking tomorrow night when I get off work. I'm going to let that be my thinking when I go to bed tonight. Think about what you think about. Tell your mind what to think about. Strengthen your mind one day at a time on the things of God. If I desire stability, if I desire peace in my life, my thoughts must be mastered. Can I suggest this as a side note? I really do believe that is in part of loving God with all your mind. Matthew 22:37 asks us to do. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I think a setting like this on a Wednesday night, you're here, you're a believer, you'd say, I love the Lord. Do you say, I love the Lord with all my mind? Think about what you think about. Would the history, if you had the, like on a computer of the web history, if you did the web history search on your mind, how much of it would be negative? How much of it would be evil? How much of it would be on the things of God? Paul says, if you want peace, you've got to get your mind under control. In the multitude of my thoughts, the psalmist said, within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Psalms 94:19. In the multitude of my thoughts, within me, thy comforts delight my soul. If you want peace, by God's help, take your thoughts under control. So we give our thoughts to God. We tell our thoughts where to go. I hope you do that. I hope you take time to think about what you think about. And because of tonight and time spent in God's words, you're more aware, you're more sober-minded about where your mind goes. But number three, the last thought, take your thoughts into action. Take your thoughts into action. What we need is available. God's given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so I'm saying it's available. I am a typical male where I can be looking for something and spend time looking for something. I need something. I want it and I need it and I can't find it. And I've been looking and looking. Brittany walks into the room within 2.3 seconds, found what I couldn't find in 2.3 minutes. And she has a, obviously gifted from her creator with a superpower, something like that, I don't know. But I hate that aspect when I know it's there. I know it's somewhere in here, but I miss it. What I would suggest is God's given to us right here what we need. We have God's very words given to us, preserved for us in the Word of God. And so I'm saying this. Availability is not the problem. I believe application is. So we're talking about anxiety, we're talking about stresses, we're talking about lacking peace. And I would suggest this, availability of it is there. In fact, Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." It's there. But I think the struggle for here in this heart is just application. There are some things that just needs to put into place. Sometimes we fail to see it, but God's word is there. And there's, in fact, a steep decline in use of Bible. But I recognize this. Those who see it sometimes fall short of diligently seeking to understand it. And so, again, I'm preaching to a Wednesday night crowd, so let me just preach to the crowd that's here. I believe you try to read your Bible. I'm going to just assume that. If you're not, I encourage you to do so. But I think some of our biggest struggle is then just application of it. We can read it, we can mark it off, but what has God spoken to me about today? We can read our Bible without really reading our Bible, can't we? We can take time to get ready to drive to church and be at church in our mind 2,500 miles away from where it should be. And so God's word is our hope. We have opportunity to know what's right, to see what's right. Availability is not the problem. Application is. And so I'd say this, we have to move from theory into information and from information of knowing to application to put feet to our faith. See, we must do what we know is right. It's a simple thought, is it not? But I think you'd recognize it as true that sometimes, in fact, tonight, if we took time and in the moment and the quietness of your own life thought, what does God want from me? What has God spoken to my heart about? We probably could pick something that we know he wants us to do that we haven't done. Could it be that's why we don't have peace? No, if God's convicted us about a sin and we're still doing that sin, good reason why we don't have peace. If God sent us in a direction and that's not the direction we're going, there's a reason we don't have peace. So a very simple thought, but a very applicable thought, we need to put application to what we hear from God. Enough talk, move. Enough lingering with God and hearing his whispers, go. Enough debate, do something about it. James simply says this, be a doer of the word, and not a hearer only. Because what happens when we hear and we don't do anything? Self-deception sinks in. It's a terrible place to be. Be a doer. Pray. Control your thoughts. Tell yourself no. Spend time in God's word. Stop filling our mind with garbage and practice. Maybe we can say this. Practice what is preached here behind this pulpit every single week. I think that's maybe preaching in Nebraska, something that can be so frustrating is just to preach your heart out about something and someone misses the message or someone's there and misses the message and is struggling with this very issue because they weren't hearing the message. Practice what you hear preached. We spend time with God in our thoughts, and we give our thoughts over to God. We take them, let them be mastered, but then we put them to action. So maybe this, what is the one thing you know God wants you to do, and you aren't doing it? And for hope, I'll say yet. What is that thing? move towards that goal. So our thoughts on a Wednesday night, I want to encourage you, your thoughts matter because they do shape and impact your whole life. And the evil around us can subtly get inside of us, can it not? In a book, a man wrote this. I'm not super familiar with the book, haven't read the whole book, but I agree with a quote from Disciplines of a Godly Man. He says this, "I am aware of wise warning against using words like all, every, and always in what I say. Absolutizing one pronouncement is dangerous, but I'm going to do it anyways." And here it is. "It is impossible for any Christian who spends the bulk of their evenings, months after month, week upon week, day in, day out, watching TV, to have a Christian mind. This is always true of all Christians in every situation." And so I just encourage you, with your free time, watch what's making you think. Watch what's directing your thoughts. Watch what is controlling where your mind goes. Evaluate all the thoughts that come through, and then evict the bad thoughts by dwelling upon virtuous truth. The Reader's Digest said this almost 35 years ago, "The food that enters the mind must be watched as closely as the food that enters the body." You think that it would be a shame at the end of our life we considered more about the food that we put into our body than the food that we put into our mind. Reader's Digest got that one right. So our thoughts matter. They matter because they impact our relationship with God. They matter because they rob us of peace. But our thoughts must be mastered. Our minds can have viruses too. You and I can be infected by destructive thoughts, destructive thought patterns. So I'm encouraging, I'm hoping that you'll take time to think what you think about and recognize even some destructive thoughts that we have. One man said this, that the man who gave the idea of destructive thought patterns, what would the world be like without them? No dark thought ever entered your mind. How would you be different? Suppose you could live life free of any guilt, lust, vengeance, insecurity, or fear, or to be DTP free. No energy loss, no time wasted. And I recognize we live in a fallen world. We will never reach perfection. But I would suggest from the Word of God, we should be growing. And we should be growing in our thought life. We should be growing in our love for the Lord with all our mind. Another man said this, "Few of us are strangers to anxiety. It creeps in over big and little things, gnawing away at our insides." Someone graphically described anxiety as a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Starts off small and just becomes this giant canyon. So what do you fill your mind with? Do you have peace tonight? No. Sincerely, if you were to take time between you and the Lord, whether here tonight, whether at your house, in your quiet place, in your prayer closet, to sincerely ask God, "Do I have peace?" What would that answer be? You know, I think it's a tragedy when Christians miss out on the things that they should be different than the world. If you want peace, pray. And I don't mean just say a mealtime prayer. I mean spend time with God. In fact, this was one of the messages I was preaching, and Brittany asked me when I was going to be home. I tell her when I was going to be home for dinner. It was a Wednesday night. And she said, "Where were you when I got home? I missed dinner." I said, "I was preaching on peace and I had nowhere to know where it was at." And there at the church, I just fell on my face before God. Absolute prostrate before the Lord, just laying on my face saying, "God, I'm going to preach on this because I know it's right, but it's not in my heart." I think in that moment I recognized my prayer life has gotten weak. So I lingered in prayer till I found an answer from God. I'm thankful for the moments where God gives us peace right away. Other times he just gives us direction. And when we follow that direction, that peace may come. But I do know this, Peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So if we're missing it, there's a reason we're missing it. If you want peace, pray. If you want peace, get your thought life right. If you want peace, it's important to practice what you know is right. Will it be hard? Probably. Will it be difficult? Sure. Difficult does not equal impossible. Difficult does not equal impossible. So if I am to enjoy peace of God, my thoughts must be mastered, having them set on Him and set to do what He has told me to do. God does something when we practice what we know. God comes along beside us and walks as we walk in obedience to us and walks in obedience to Him, and the fruit of the Spirit does come out. So I think we'd recognize we want peace. The question does come, are we going to take those steps? I was put to shame with this thought about 2 years ago. We were working on the building project. I think it was a Tuesday morning, all geared up. Me and one of the other men were working on the building that day, and one of the dear ladies in our church was having headaches and been sick for a little while, and got a phone call that morning that it was a tumor. And I just remember me nor the other guy wanted to work that day. I mean, we're done. We're just, what's going to happen with this dear lady? And both of them walked through it. They're still going through some things, but both of them walked through such peace that God had provided. And so I guess I say, with the authority of the Word of God and other strong Christians that I've seen, peace is possible. It is possible to be anxious for nothing, to be careful for nothing. It's just if we're willing to take the steps God has asked for us. So if you don't have peace tonight, I'm not saying that it's a perfect life, but a peace of a contented soothing of the Holy Spirit, a contented calming that the Holy Spirit provides. Just encourage you, spend some time asking God why. And when He puts your finger on it, just deal with it. There's no reason that we shouldn't live without peace. Peace is a gift from God. Father, thank You for Your love to us. I do thank You for the chance that we've been given tonight. And Father, I just pray, Lord, in our minds, in our hearts, that You would help us just be honest with You. Lord, maybe we're doing great, and maybe there is peace in our hearts. Lord, I would sincerely ask, Lord, if there is an anxiety, if there is an angst, if there has been peace removed, Lord, that truly we would do business with You, even right now. Father, we love You. We thank You for the peace that You offer. We ask that You would work in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I encourage you tonight. You respond this evening to what it is the Lord has spoken to your heart about. It's been a very clear, concise message, and I want to just encourage you this evening as you're there. Maybe take some time to pray. Do you have peace in your heart tonight? You can come to the altar and talk to the Lord. When's the last time you really controlled your thoughts? You know, we're all guilty of that, aren't we? Rehearsing those things again and again and again. And maybe you just need to ask the Lord, Lord, remind me not to think on those things. You told me what it is I ought to think on.